Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. My name is Nicholas. My website is crosstheborder.org. There you'll find the most recent 5 days broadcast or week's broadcast there that you can listen to on demand. Those programs are usually uploaded within a few hours of the broadcast, so you could re-listen to today's broadcast if you found it exceptional or if you wanted to share it. You can download it. And you'll find my other studies there, my other recent studies, which I'm posting as I'm doing them eventually. So eventually you'll find Proverbs up there. It may take me a month after I get it done to find the time to post it, but it'll get up there eventually. But do take advantage of what is there, many good studies. So I suggest that that you take advantage of those resources. And we're in Proverbs chapter 21, and we've got all the way to, verse 2. verse 6, that's right. The getting of treasures by a lying tongue is a vanity, tossed to and fro of them that seek death. So any ill-gotten gain, any type of theft is, you seek death if you seek that. The robbery of the wicked shall destroy them, because they refuse to do judgment. The way of a man is froward and strange, but as for the pure, his work is right. It is better to dwell in a corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Well, unfortunately, I can say I can identify with that. I've had a few occasions in my life to be in that circumstance. The soul of the wicked desireth evil. His neighbor findeth no favor in his eyes. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise. When the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. The righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked, but God overthroweth the wicked for their wickedness. The righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked. Yes, it's good to, a lot of people like the thou shalt not judge. That's a favorite saying in the world. Thou shalt not judge. And then they accuse you of being self-righteous. Because judge not, lest you be judged. And the scripture goes on, for with whatever measure you judge, you will be judged. So there's an admonition there, but it does not say to judge not. As a matter of fact, anyone who tries to live their life without judgment, well, I guess, as the proverb says here, that you are called simple or a fool, one or the other. Everyone judges every day. If you don't make judgments and to guide your life, then, it's no wonder that your life is full of trouble if you live without judgment. So that's what it means here. When the righteous man wisely considers the house of the wicked, well, you judge it. You judge the wicked. You judge a man, you say, well, I'm not going to have anything to do with him because I can see he's just trouble. That's making a judgment and using that judgment to guide your own life, certainly not to condemn others, because unless you're in a position of judging to condemnation, say you're sitting on a jury or you're in a seat of judgment, then you have to judge righteously. So the righteous man wisely considereth the house of the wicked, but God overthroweth the wicked for their wickedness. Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. Reminds me of the story that our Messiah told. And I believe it's a true story. I think some of his parables were parables. It's like the parable of the sower, but I don't believe that this was a parable, because he didn't call it a parable. So most people, They believe that the whole scripture is fairy tales. But he said there was a rich man. There was a beggar named Lazarus. And Lazarus begged at the gates of the rich. And that's what I think of here when I see whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor. And it happened that both Lazarus and the rich man, they both died. First Lazarus, then the rich man. And Lazarus was in the bosom of Abraham. There was a compartment in hell, and it was called paradise, or the bosom of Abraham. And the rich man, he went into hell, and he was in torment. he was on the other side of this great chasm, and he saw Lazarus and Abraham afar off, and he cried out, "Father Abraham, if Lazarus could dip his finger in the water and put a drop on my tongue, it would help my torment." And that's the kind of, I mean, that just illustrates the torment of hell. Just a drop of water on the man's tongue would have been such a great pleasure in this place where he's at. But so Abraham explained to him, he said, "Hey, you know, there's a great chasm fixed between us. And, you know, if we wanted to, and believe me that we would like to, minister to all of you over there in hell, you know, on that side of the chasm where the torment is. But there's a great gulf fixed between us, a great chasm fixed, and we cannot cross over, and you cannot come over here." And that's how the story went. And so the rich man then says to Abraham, he said, "Perchance Lazarus could go back and tell my brethren to warn them against this place, against coming here." Well, finally, this rich man, in the torment of hell, at a time when it would do him no good, he finally had a little compassion, started thinking about his brethren. Of course, Yahshua, Jesus, did not die for the dead. He died for the living. And because once you're dead, you know, the time is up for your repentance to be effectual. So anyway, he said, "You could send Lazarus back and he could warn my brethren against coming here." And Abraham said to him, he said, though one were raised from the dead, they wouldn't believe them. They wouldn't believe it if someone rose from the dead and ministered to them. And he said something like, they have the law and the prophets. Well, we have the law and the prophets. Anyway, just remind me of that story. Of course, Abraham's bosom, that compartment in hell called paradise, they were waiting. Of course, they were waiting for Yahshua to shed his blood, to set the captives free, because that's what they were. They were captive by death. They were captive, you know, by sin. But they were not in torment. They were not suffering the pangs of death. They were in a safe place called paradise, that compartment in hell, also called Abraham's bosom. "Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor." And that's the whole moral of the story, is this rich man, he went by Lazarus every day in his goings, as Lazarus, you know, poor and crippled, begged at the gate, and the man never stopped, never gave him anything. "Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard." Well, you may say, well, the rich man was heard. Well, that means that his cries go unheeded. He didn't get a drop of water, and no one went back to preach to his brethren a special message. Because as Abraham said, the one were to raise from the dead, it wouldn't matter. They wouldn't believe. They have the law and the prophets. And we have the law and the prophets. We have the word of the prophets, those that preach the word of God. And our Heavenly Father moved them by his Holy Spirit to write those words down. We have his law and we have his word. Let's believe. Let's repent now. That's the point. We don't want to end up in that place. As the scripture says, fear not him who can kill the body, but the point is to fear him who can cast both body and soul into hell. And that's our point now. We don't go to paradise. We don't go to Abraham's bosom, perhaps for a brief visit. And we get down there and, you know, the one who has the keys to hell and death, he says, "Oh, you know what? You're pardoned. The price has been paid. The handwriting of the ordinances that were against you have been washed away in the blood of the Lamb. You're clean. You're excused. You get to go to the resurrection. You don't have to stay in hell and wait for the second resurrection." Chapter 21 and verse 14. "A gift in secret pacifieth anger, and a reward in the bosom strong wrath." A gift in secret pacifieth anger, and a reward in the bosom, strong wrath. Now let's see. Let's see what Henry says about this. This is somewhat archaic to me. "Here is, one, the power that is commonly found to be in gifts. Nothing is more violent than anger. Oh, the force of strong wrath. And yet a handsome present prudently managed, will turn away some men's wrath when it seemed implacable, and disarm the keenest and most passionate resentments. Covetousness is commonly a master sin and has the command of other lusts. Money commandeth all things. Thus Jacob pacified Esau and Abigail David, the policy that is commonly used in giving and receiving bribes. It must be a gift in secret and a reward in the bosom, for he that takes it would not be thought to covet it, nor known to receive it, nor would he willingly be beholden to him whom he has been offended with, but if it be done privately, all is well. No man should be too open in giving of any gift, nor boast of the presents he sends. But if it be a bribe to pervert justice, that is so scandalous that those who are fond of it are ashamed of it. So there you have it, from our good friend Henry. A gift in secret pacifieth anger, and a reward in the bosom strong wrath. It is joy to the just to do judgment, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. The wicked shall be a ransom for the righteous, and the transgressor for the upright. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. Well, you can tell a man wrote this, huh? I'm sure there are just as many women out there that could write a proverb about dwelling with angry men or abusive men and so forth, but it's all right here. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and angry woman. So all those loners out in the wilderness, well, we know what drove you there, right? Proverbs chapter 21, verse 20. There is treasure to be desired, and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. So there you go, saving, putting up for lean times, putting up for your children's children, all this wisdom here. For the man that just spends it up, and especially today, people are spending up their future. They're not just spending up what they earned today and what they earned yesterday. Now they spend their future. They go into bondage. They go into slavery willingly. You know, they get their privileges from the unjust weight and measure monetary system, the lords of that. They get their MasterCard and their Visa, and they get their privileged loans, their credit system that they've signed up for, card-carrying members do. And not only do they spend every penny they get and spend it up, as the scripture says here, but they spend up their future, charge it, and they have everything they need. They got to have the latest, the best, and the greatest, and keeping up with the Joneses, as the cliche goes. A foolish man spends it up. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor. And seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And that's what you'll find. You'll find righteousness and honor. A wise man scaleth the city of the mighty, and casteth down the strength of the confidence thereof. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. Proud and haughty scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath. The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor. He coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. How much more when he bringeth it with a wicked mind? A false witness shall perish, but the man that heareth speaketh constantly. See, a false witness shall perish, but the man that heareth speaketh constantly. So now I got to go to my Henry here and see what he has to say about that. The doom of the false witness. Oh, I get that part. It's the man that heareth speaketh constantly, That's the part I don't get. The praise of him that is conscientious, who hears, that is, obeys the command of God. Okay, the man that heareth speaketh constantly. Who hears and obeys the command of God, which is to speak every man truth with his neighbor, who testifies nothing but what he has heard and knows to be true. He speaks constantly, that is, consistently with himself. He is always in the same story. Okay, well, that clears up the archaic language a little bit, that he is consistent, that his story is the same. It doesn't change. But a false witness is not so. They can't keep their story straight. Proverbs 21:29. A wicked man hardeneth his face, but as for the upright, he directeth his way. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against Yahuwah. And it says the Lord here in the King James Version. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of Yahuwah. So the real safety is found in him, and there is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against him. Yes, who can say, I'm going to overthrow him, or he can't. He can't have his way with me. Yes. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. The rich and poor meet together. The Lord, Yahuwah, is maker of them all. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. And I believe in the days that we live in, I see evil. You know, we foresee the evil coming. And it's hard to miss. When you see that, you know, a barrel of oil is rising at the rate of $1 a day, and the price of gasoline just continues to skyrocket, and you see the prognosticators of the monetary system out there telling you what's coming, $200 a barrel oil, when it's now at 125 or one somewhere around there, between 125 and 130 a barrel, so that you know the price is going to go up another, you know, 70% to hit $200. Well, I think that's evil. That's called hyperinflation by any definition of what hyperinflation would be. That meets the definition. So you see that they're devaluing. They're changing the money. They're moving the weights and the measures on the scale to steal from the people and to oppress the people, and especially oppress the poor who can least afford it, who have to now, instead of choose between bread and gas so they can go to work and pay for the gas, it's going to come a point where they can't afford to go to work. They might as well just stay home because they're going to have to spend all their money going to work. And with the extra expenses of working, they're just going to say, well, I'm going to stay home and collect welfare. The system will break down. But perhaps it's planned. You know, it's hard to believe that much of anything isn't planned in politics and government. Foresee the evil and make plans. Put up food, put up water, make sure that you have a plan for what could come on this land or whatever situation you may be in. You know, prepare for the worst, absolutely. A prudent man foresees the evil and hideth himself. He makes himself secure. It doesn't mean you go hide under a rock. It means you secure yourself. Say, see, you foresee the evil. You see a tornado coming. You don't just stand out there and wait for it. You go find shelter. That's the whole idea. It says, but the simple pass on and are punished. Well, they're punished by the evil that they should have foresaw coming. You know, they are not prepared. By humility and the fear of Yahuwah are riches and honor and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. So important to train your children in the way they should go. Get the word of God. Get his law into their minds and their hearts. And even though they may stray for a while, they'll come back. If you get it in there, you know, I found this to be a true proverb. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And we'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to Cross the Border.